You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. We're celebrating 35 years of Victory, and today is the culmination of our Kingdom series. We call this Here and Now. Turn your Bibles with me for a while to Matthew chapter 13. We will be reading from verse 47 down to verse 50. Same as last Sunday, this is something that your three-year-old might love to hear as a bedtime story. But if you look deeply into these verses, this speaks volume, in fact, about where we will spend eternal life. Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 to 50. It says here again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the lake and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So will it be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So today, we're going to be talking about what we call the parable of the net. In some of your Bible translations, this could be called the parable of the dragnet, or perhaps the parable of the net and the fishes, or the parable of the net and the fish. It's a three-verse parable, like what I said a while ago, that really cuts the chase and gets straight to the meaning of it as Jesus explained it in the last two verses. If you would start looking into how Jesus did his earthly ministry, much of his earthly ministry were done along the Sea of Galilee. Of course, we understand that the Sea of Galilee is actually not a sea, but it is a lake. It's actually a lake. I don't know why they call it the Sea of Galilee. There was a series of parables, well, in all the accounts of the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I think you'd find around 46 parables littered through the accounts of the Gospels. But there's a series of parables that Jesus mentioned. And some of these are the ones that we're looking into here in the book of Matthew. There's a series of parables, 7 to be exact, that started with the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. And the ending of this is found in Matthew chapter 13, verse 47, which is our text today, which is the parable of the net. The first four parables were preached to the multitudes in the boat. And the last three parables were preached in the homes of some of the disciples. So if we're going to study this, because this is a parable, we've explained what a parable is. We say that the manner in which we're going to tackle this is, first, we will look at the information of this parable, which is found in the first two verses. So if you read the first two verses, it talks about fishing, talks about a net, talks about a variety of fish. But if you progress coming from those two verses, Jesus then gives the interpretation. So ganito lang po gagawin natin. This is a simple preaching for us. Perhaps what we can do is we'll look at the information of the parable, what was given there plainly, and we'll try to understand that in light of their original context. And secondly, we're going to look at the interpretation of this parable. And lastly, we're going to look at the application of this parable for you and for me here today. So let's look at the first one, which is the information found in this parable. Like what I said a while ago, most of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ was done along the Lake of Galilee. So let's try to talk about this lake for a while. Well, I just read a new saying that the Lake of Galilee is actually shrinking. I don't know what they mean by that. Perhaps there are certain parts that are being eroded, something like that. But it's actually shrinking. But in Jesus' context, when you say the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Galilee, it's actually teeming with fish. Marami pong isda dyan, it's edible. No wonder many of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ were fishermen. Is it right? So they make their livelihood along the shores or on the Lake of Galilee. So Peter and Andrew, if you remember, were casting their nets when Jesus called them. Remember that? Jesus told them while they were casting their nets. Okay, so Jesus called them, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So that was actually James and Andrew. Many different kinds of nets are used by fishermen for fishing. But there are two popular ones during their time, okay, not in our time right now. First is what they call a casting net, and the other one is a drag net. A casting net is the commonly used one by fishermen who are on their boat on their own. And the diameter is around 4 meters, And all they will need to do is stand on their boat and throw the net, or perhaps stand near the shore and throw the net and open the net. And afterwards, they will try to pull the net in. Whatever fish is under that certain or specific area, they get to it with them. That's basically the idea of a casting net. This net is a kind of circular net with a diameter of about 3 to 4 meters. When the fisherman casts the net out, it spreads out, and whatever fish is under the net gets caught when the net is dragged in. As you could see, this is not a technique or mode of fishing that will draw in or rake in a huge number of fish. Ilan lang po yung mauhuli natin dyan. The other one is a drag net. When the Lord called Peter and Andrew in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, they were using not a casting net, but they were using a drag net as they were casting it from the shore. Now, according to Klein Snodgrass, he said in his book, Stories with Intent, A Comprehensive Guide to the Parables of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, pertaining to a drag net, such a net could be quite long with cork floats along the top and lead weights along the bottom. It could be stretched between two boats. Imagine how big these nets are. Or laid out from one and then pulled to the shore by ropes. Everything in its path would be caught as it was pulled in. This kind of net will rake in a huge number of fish. So here's the thing. If you use a casting net, you could have a few selection of fish. If you use a drag net, you'd be able to sweep in everything that stands in its way. There's a huge number of yield of fish when you use a drag net. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 47, it says here, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. The specific net here is the Greek word sagin, which means a drag net. And this is the only time that this was mentioned in the Bible, this drag net. I'd like for you to get the picture. Because later on, we would see the relevance or the interpretation of this story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so first, we have to understand that this was the kind of net Jesus used in this story. It was not a casting net, not this ordinary net. It was a drag net. Just use your imagination, drag. So you sweep everything in huge numbers. So that's the drag net. Secondly, the method alluded to is the second method, which is the using of two boats. So this is not just two people using the drag net, but this is how big a drag net is, that it would require two small boats to actually sweep it to the shore. Catch it? So it gives us a picture that, to a certain extent, this is quite heavy perhaps. It's not an easy way of fishing, but it's perhaps the most lucrative one because it yields a big number of fish. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 47, it says here, because they were using a drag net, Bible says, they were able to gather fish. In verse 47, it says there, they were able to gather fish of every kind. That's interesting. So because they were using a drag net, they were able to haul in fish of every kind. So alam nyo ba na, of course, plural of fish is fish. Unless you're pertaining to different species of fish. Tama? So para lang mas matalino kayo pagkausap niyo yung mga friends niya. Tsaka po ang singular po ng species ay species. And so there's no such thing as species. Pwede nyo nang pagtawanan yung mga kaibigan nyo, okay? Alright, by using a drag net, they were able to haul in different species of fish. So different kinds of fish. In fact, here's what's interesting. The Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Galilee has all kinds of fishes of all sizes. Some were edible. And the most famous one is what they call St. Peter's fish. Guess what this fish is? It's actually called Tilapia Galilea. The tilapias that we have in the market, the tilapias that we eat, is a different species of tilapia. So they have their own tilapia, and it's called St. Peter's fish. So this is one of the many edible species of fish that you could find in the Lake of Galilee. Got a picture? So just one of the many. But it's just that perhaps this is the most famous one or perhaps the favorite one. Kasi nga naman, masarap nga naman kasi ang tilapia. Diba? So tayo, di ba pag nagprito ka ng tilapia, sarap? So sila pag nagprito ng tilapia, sa olive oil pa. Nuts naman. Kasi maraming olive sa kanila. Wala silang mga minola na lauric oil or coconut oil. So it's Tilapia Galilea. Now, these are the edible ones, there are also species of fish that are not edible. So the edible ones and the not so edible ones. In a sense, they're not edible because some of them are too small to be eaten. But because they're using a dragnet, they get caught with a net. Catch it? So this is, I think everyone here, even if you don't have an experience of fishing, you would understand this story. In the Philippines, we have different modes of fishing. We have what we call muruami before, is it right? Dynamite fishing. So some of them are edible, some are not edible, simply because of the dietary laws that Jewish people have. In fact, if you look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 9 to 10, it says here, there you may eat all that are in the waters. You may eat all that have fins and scales. And whatever does not have fins and scales, you shall not eat. It is unclean for you. So they have their law with regards to fish. For example, if they get a catfish, they won't eat a catfish. For them, they will be deemed unclean if they eat a catfish. Pero sa Pinoy, pagka nakakita ng dalag, di ba? Alam niyo yun? Kakainin itong mga to. But for them, these are the species of fish that they wouldn't even touch. Now, when the boat comes into the land, here's the thing. The fishermen would get off the boats hurriedly. Frantically, they would get off the boats and start dragging the net to the shore, to the land. Once the net is on the land with all fishes jumping about, they must immediately get to work. And their work is to start sorting the fish. They will start sorting the fish. Tilapia, catfish. Tilapia, catfish. Ano pa ba yung mga isda sa freshwater fish? Carps, karpa. Tilapia, karpa, masarap yan. Black molly, wag yan. Ano pa may mga, yun lang yung alam ko eh. Malamang walang bangon sa kanila. They will start sorting the fish, the edible ones, the saleable ones, the marketable ones, such as tilapia, carps. They will be put in containers or vessels. But the rest, which are known as bad fish, are thrown back into the water or thrown on the shore for the birds to eat. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers but threw away the bad. This was the story that Jesus narrated. Like what I said, this might be a good bedtime story for our kids. For a three-year-old, this might be a good story. But for us who understands the meaning of these verses, we will see this in light of our eternal destination. But folks, I don't want us to just be caught up with that. I don't want us to just be caught up with our eternal destination, whether I'm going to heaven or I'm going to hell. But I'd like for us to know that kingdom living starts today. And that is the reason why we have these parables. Because at the end of the day, the manner you live your life is indicative of your citizenship. It's either you are under the rule and reign of the prince of darkness, the prince of the power in the air, which is Satan himself, or you are under the rule and reign of Christ, the rule and reign of God. So let's look at the interpretation of these verses. It says here, first of all, we must note that this parable describes the kingdom of heaven. The entire story. So I don't want you to think, the kingdom of God here is the fish. The kingdom of God here is the net. No, the entire story describes what the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is. If we've looked into the treasure, the fine pearl last week, this is the same thing. The entire story describes the kingdom of heaven. It describes, it tells us what the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is a kingdom which has Christ as its king and the loyal subjects are genuine Christians. Anong difference with this story and what we had last week? Last week, we've looked into stumbling upon or seeking a treasure. One man stumbled upon a treasure and the other one was seeking for a fine pearl. The difference is, in this story right here, everyone was already gathered. Catch it? Last week, kinahanap at naghahanap. It's like going to Pakistan, preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel to South Korea. This time around, everyone is already gathered. In a sense, this parable is talking about the church. It's talking about you and me here today. People were already gathered by the dragnet. Here's the thing. Whatever TV series or movies that you might watch about kingdoms, here's one realization that I have about these kinds of movies. In any kingdom that is being portrayed, there is always a traitor and a loyal one. In any kingdom, a movie, it always has a Thor. It always has an element of a traitor. A subject who was initially loyal, who eventually betrayed the king and the kingdom. It also has a component of people who would start out well in the kingdom and finish well in the kingdom. And by then, they become true citizens of the kingdom. If you try to look at this in our world right now, the moment you're born, do you realize that there are two kings that you cannot defeat on your own? And this is sin and death. Left on your own, these two kingdoms are kingdoms that you cannot defeat. In fact, here's the thing. The reason why you cannot defeat this kingdom is because you were born under that kingdom. That is why, if you're not a Christian, you're not birthed again in the Spirit, you are an enemy of the kingdom of God. So there are basically just two kingdoms in this world in that sense. It is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness. And believe me, friends, all of us here this morning are under any of these two kingdoms. Good thing is, in our lifetime, we get to choose which king we worship and which kingdom do we want to belong in. A kingdom parable deals with different aspects of the kingdom. Let's just try to look at this for a while. For instance, if you look at the parable of the leaven, I heard Tom preach about this. He explained it clearly. It deals with the growth and the development of the subjects of the kingdom, which is you and me. When Jesus was talking about the parable of the leaven, he was talking about the growth and the development of you and me. So many of you say, don't worry. The moment you become a Christian, God does not expect for you to be perfect. Is that right? Like what we said last week, church is, we tell people, you come as you are. That's totally fine. Come as you are. Bring with you your filth. Bring with us everything that is bad about us. But as we progress in the kingdom, we cannot remain as we are. The parable of the mustard seed starts dealing with the extension of the kingdom of God in this world. That it starts with something so small and eventually understands that slow is fast. That one life after another, surrendered to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, brings about societal change. The parable of the wheat and tares deals with the fact that there are what? True and false subjects in the kingdom in its present manifestation. Ngayon po. The parable of the sower deals with how a person could obtain citizenship in the kingdom of God. So having said all of that, what does the parable of the net deal with? What is the meaning of this parable? Jesus gives us a one-line interpretation of this. He said in verse 49, so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous. Another translation says, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just. That's the primary focus of the parable. But let's try to look at the other significance that we have here. First, when Andrew was casting the net in the shore, Jesus told them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You folks remember that? In a sense, Jesus is alluding the works of the gospel to fishing. Kaya nga po parable, kasi nga, that's the evident, perhaps, profession in their time. Every time we would start thinking about the gospel work in our life, how it starts, how it intends to grow, how we ought to end, he always relate that to fishing, being a master teacher. In Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 14, it says here, "You make men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no rule over them." That's fascinating. You know why? Because as early as the Old Testament, Habakkuk spoke of men as fishes in the sea. Oh, ito pala yung meaning. Kaya pala, fishers of men. Because of the variety of fish in the sea, God would want us to perhaps look at it that way, that the fish of the sea, it's like the men in the world. The sea here, the ocean, at least in this case, the lake, is a picture of the world, of our world right now. Let's say Dumaguete City. Or the world in general. Now, what can you say about our world right now? Would you say that our world is a happy place? I don't think so. The sea here is the same with the world. It is what? It is restless. It is restless. It has all kinds of creatures and fish in it. That's the fact that no one rules over them. It is interesting that in the Lord's parable, the dragnet is cast into the sea. Just imagine this. The sea here is the world. The fish here is you and me, the people in the world. So what then is the net? Come on now. What then is the net? The preaching of the gospel. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The net here is the tossing of net, the dragging. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't use casting net? Because pagka-casting net, baka si Brian lang at si Mav yung andito ngayon. Baka ilan lang po. By God's mercy, He alluded to a dragnet. And that's why we're all here today. You are here because you have responded to the invitation. You are here because you're invited. You are here because you've responded to the gospel preaching that someone did to you. Matthew Henry said, "You know, the preaching of the gospel is the casting of a net into the sea to catch something out of it, for His glory was the sovereignty of the sea. Ministers like you and me are the fishers of men employed in casting and drawing this net." So here's the question. You know, this is a simple parable that deserves our full attention. Here's the question, perhaps. What is the primary means by which men and women are brought into the kingdom of God? The answer to that is the preaching of the gospel. The casting of the net in the sea. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 14. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching the gospel to them?" If you want people to be in the drug net, there's no magical formula to bring them in other than preaching the gospel to them. No one gets saved just by looking at your changed life. Preaching is therefore like the casting of the drug net. It brings in the good fishes. It should be noted then that in this parable, it does not concern itself about the fish that are not caught in the drug net. Story revolves around the fish that are caught in the drug net, not about those who are not caught in the drug net. You know why? Because outside the church and outside the sound preaching of the gospel, there is no means of salvation. No charity works will get you in the net. No good vibes, good works will get you in the net. You are not part of the story. If you have not responded to the preaching of the gospel,
But for us Christians, this is a reminder.
You love your dad? You love your mom? You love your relatives? Then make them be part of this story.
Preach the gospel to them.
There is no means of salvation other than the preaching of the gospel.
If you are here and you know for a fact that you are out of Christ, I'm making bold claims here. I want you to know that your only hope for salvation is to come under the Lordship of Christ in your life.
If you're here or you have friends who've heard the gospel once or twice and yet returned to the world and are not interested to return to hear the preaching once again, then that person, or perhaps you, could be those fish who slip by the side of the drug net. You slip by the side of the drug net and you felt like, man, yes, I'm free. I'm free in the world.
Free for a moment. But take note that lake will become the lake of fire.
Like the dragnet which draws in good and bad fish, preaching also brings in the true and false believers into the church. That's what the story says. Gives me an idea, gives me a picture that, oh, wait. Are you telling me, Lord, that not everyone who attends church will be saved? Story tells me that it is an absolute yes. So just because I identify myself as a Christian does not mean I am a quote-unquote good fish. I am not here to judge, of course. I am not here to say you are a good fish, bad fish. Good fish, no, that's not my role. Because story says angels would come. That's the work of the great judge in his great throne. You know what my job is? My job is to sound the alarm. My job, my role as a pastor is to keep preaching to you. To keep preaching to bring people into the dragnet and to keep preaching to the people in the dragnet and tell them that the kingdom of heaven is not just about surrendering your life to the Lord, but it's about living under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have created a culture wherein if someone responds to the altar call, we celebrate because we celebrate. And that's totally okay. That's absolutely great. But do not celebrate just because someone started. We celebrate when someone finishes. So perhaps this is the reason why discipleship is important. Kasi pag ikaw ayaw mo magpa-disciple, tapos you call yourself a Christian, I want you to understand, you cannot live life on your own. I was talking with some men yesterday, and I told them, you know what? You are under discipleship, but guess what? I am also under discipleship. We were in Cebu for a good 2 days. In 2 days in Cebu, grabe, parang na-realize ko, tatlong beses ako na-rebuke, tatlong beses ako na-correct. And I love it! Because I need people who tell me, wait a second, that is not an attitude of a kingdom citizen.
Like what I said last Sunday, ang labanan po dito, ang sukatan ng Christianity, hindi yung attendance ng church. Well, those things are good, but those are manifestations. Ang sukatan ng Christianity, hindi kung paano kalakas mag-worship, gaano kakalakas kumanta. Ang sukatan ng Christianity, lordship. So pag merong area sa buhay ko ngayon na hindi submitted sa lordship ni Lord, if there are areas in my life that are not submitted under the lordship of Christ, then perhaps, just perhaps, I'm not a citizen of the kingdom. You know why? Because I am still my own king. So does that mean that I have to be perfect? No. That's not what I'm suggesting. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you have to be perfect coming to church. I'm not saying that you have to live a perfect life because we will never be perfect in this lifetime. But what I'm suggesting is, do you grieve over your sin? Do you feel the filth? The Lord, oh my good Lord, I've done this. Do you grieve over your sin? Because that is a mark of a disciple. If you don't grieve over your sin anymore, you don't have conscience over your sin anymore, then Romans 1:26 tells us that perhaps you have been given over to those sins. And that is a picture of a current wrath. Apart from the future wrath that we see here. Do you realize that we love you enough that we have to preach this to everyone? Amen? Good news naman actually ito. The fishermen do not attempt to distinguish between good and bad fish when the net is in the water. It has to be brought into the shore first. Because light will reveal who we really are. My task, my job, as a preacher, as a pastor, as a disciple, is to keep preaching and ask you to examine yourself. So don't think that if I see you at Robinson's, I'm judging you. Because it happens all the time. I see people from church. I see them at aisle 26. The moment they see me, nawawala na sila. They rush to aisle number 30. As if I'm angry with people. As if I'm judging you for something. No. It's the Holy Spirit perhaps. It's the Holy Spirit perhaps telling you, Ganun kasi yung glory ni Lord. When you're with someone, if I'm with Kevin, if I talk to Kevin, even if he doesn't say anything, his presence actually brings conviction in my life. Because it's the glory of God being manifested. And I realize if I haven't been living a life that honors God, I would always realize that. So don't run from me when I see you at Lee Plaza. We're friends. And I don't check attendance in church. I don't even check attendance in victory groups. Because those things are your decisions. It's not mine for me to decide for you. That's your growth. My role is to keep preaching so that you would grow. Let's talk about the shore, the seashore. You don't want to use dragnet in shallow waters. Doesn't make sense. So the dragnet starts in the deeper parts of the lake. Guess what? Like what I said a while ago, eventually, this dragnet is brought forth on the seashore. On the riverside. That's why the Bible says, Jesus said, so will it be at the end of the age. Meaning to say, our life, physical life, meron pong katapusan. 90 years old, 92 years old, time's up. I have arrived at the seashore. And for us as a church, that's a destination that we will all get into. What will happen at the seashore? At the end of the age, the Bible says, the angels will come forth and separate the righteous from the wicked. Tells me then that the angels will separate what? The true believers from the false believers. The angels will, not the staff of the church, but God Himself will. That it says here in verse 50, the evil ones, the wicked on the other hand, will be thrown into the fiery furnace. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's fascinating that if you look at these verses, ang binigyan lang ng picture ni Lord kung ano man yung mangyari sa kanila, their eternal state would be the bad fish. Good ones given na po. So it's like Jesus is saying this to serve as a reminder that sayang naman. Sayang naman yung pa-church-church natin. Tapos ayaw pa nating totohanin. Sayang naman yung every Sunday andito tayo. Tapos, you know what I'm talking about? You've invested Sundays, you've invested time at church, and then when you get to the seashore, parang, wait a second, why am I being sorted out? So my encouragement is, might as well, totohanin natin yung Christianity natin. Not by good works, that's not what I'm talking about. Because it tells us that, you know, this is a scary place to be in, a fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What will happen to the good ones? It's fascinating because Jesus said, the righteous ones. Now, if I look at my life, I'll be so far with you. If I look at my life, I'll realize, I'm not righteous. I'm not a righteous person. But righteousness here simply means, you know this, by virtue of what Christ has done on the cross, He clothed me with His righteousness. That is why my prayer every day is, Lord, have mercy. I live my life, Lord, for the glory of Your name. Not to earn it, but to simply receive it. Everyone who truly embraces Christ and is therefore represented by Christ is considered just and righteous. That's basically what this story is telling every single one of us. A false believer, a bad fish in this picture, is likely someone who professes to know Christ and yet lives a life as if Christ does not exist. How do we apply this in our life? For those of us, for you and for me, who confess that Jesus is Lord, what we need to do is to always examine and re-examine our lives in light of God's Word. Not in light of a model that you see in church, in light of God's Word, examine and re-examine our lives. For those who are not caught in the drug net, I want you to realize that as a church, we do not endeavor to sound politically correct. But we want to say what Scripture says. With love, we tell you that we would glad to be with you in the dragnet. That as you respond to the preaching of the gospel, as you allow us to disciple you perhaps and teach you about what it is to be a citizen in this kingdom of God, we would love to walk with you and persevere and finish the race with you. For those of you here who's not under discipleship, that could be time. That's because of your schedule. Perhaps it's just because of a desire that you don't want to be part of one. I don't know. You have your own reasons. But I want you to understand, we would need to journey with each other, because Bible says we ought to be mutually encouraged with each other. You cannot be living your Christian life on your own. You need people who would tell you in a very forward way. Frank people would tell you, I don't think that's something that honors God. That is basically what it means to honor God and make disciples.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.